The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs for 40 days, appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere, the Lord working with all, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I shall go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, one of the many duties of a priest, and I would add one of the many privileges of the Holy Priesthood, is to assist souls in the final moments of their life. This is done primarily by administering the sacrament of extreme unction, hearing their confessions, giving them holy viaticum when possible, and by encouraging them in their worries, their fears, and their temptations. Every priest has stories about different sick calls that he's gone on, about the various visits he's made to someone in failing health. When the priests go on sick calls, there are times when we really don't know what we're getting into. We don't always know the person we're going to see or how near to death he is. We don't always know whether or not he's a devout Catholic or if he's been away from the church for a very long time. This morning, I'd like to share one such story which I found particularly edifying. It happened about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was one of those cases where I didn't know the man or what condition he was in. I really didn't know what to expect. And so when I entered his hospital room, I was quite surprised to see that he was rather young. I would say in his late 30s or even early 40s. And he was dying. I introduced myself, I explained who I was, what chapel I was from, and then we began to talk. We talked mainly about the Catholic faith, about what he did for a living, and then we talked about his family. It was in the midst of our conversation about his family that the man paused, and he seemed to reflect for a little while. After a few moments of silence, he then looked at me, and with tears filling his eyes, he said these words. And these words really made an impression on me. He said, "Father, life is short, but heaven is forever. If only more people would realize that. Life is short, but heaven is forever." And I think, my dear friends, that this is one of the problems of our time. Most people don't realize that. And if they do, they live as if they don't really believe it. But this is nothing new. This has been going on for many, many years now. Even at our Lord's time, people didn't realize it. It goes to show you that human nature doesn't change. People were preoccupied with the world at Christ's time, and they are preoccupied with the world today. And so what did our Lord do? He warned the people again and again, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Be not caring for the world. Lay not up to yourselves treasures on earth which perish," he said, "but lay up to yourselves treasures in heaven which do not perish." Our Lord even told them a parable to make his point. There was a rich man, he said, a rich farmer. And one year, this farmer who owned a great portion of land, his crop produced an abundant harvest. So much so that he ran out of room in his barn, and so he had to build a new barn to contain all of it. After doing this, he was very pleased with himself and with all the crops that he gathered. And he thought he had worked enough, and that it was time to enjoy life, to get the most out of the things and pleasures of the world. And so he said to himself, "You have worked hard enough. You have laid up many goods in this life. Take your rest. Eat, drink, and make good cheer." But then something happened. Our Lord tells us that that very night, death came for that man. And God said to him, Thou fool, this night do they require thy soul of thee, and what will become of all the goods you have stored up? What good are they now?" My dear friends, we live at a time in which many people believe and behave like that rich farmer. We live at a time in which people believe and behave as though this life is it, as if this world is all there is to live for, as if Christ said, "Seek ye first the things of the world. Be not caring for heaven." For today, and we see this all around us, people are focused on attaining worldly fame, positions of honor. They're worried about looking good and being popular. They're concerned with making as much money as possible. storing up as many goods as they can. There are even some people who are so proud and who are so consumed with this world that they actually think that they can discover a way to live forever. There are some people, wealthy people, who are investing billions upon billions of dollars into researching bodily immortality. Among these people are the founders of the internet search engine Google. They want to live forever in this world. Can you imagine that? Wasting billions and billions of dollars on something that is doomed to failure. I mean, they still haven't even found a way to prevent the common cold. They can't even prevent hair loss. And they really think that they're going to find a way to never die. It's absolutely absurd. But they're wasting all this money. They're squandering all this time. And for what? Only to die one day, to stand before God, and to hear the same words as that rich farmer. Thou fool, this night do they require thy soul of thee. At times, because of our fallen human nature, it can be very easy to get caught up in the things of the world, and consequently to forget why we're here, what our purpose in life is. In his discourse at the Last Supper, our divine Savior said to the apostles and to us, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I shall go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. That place is not here. It's in heaven. And that is our purpose, to be where he is, to attain the place that he ascended into heaven to prepare for us. God did not make us for this world. He created us for heaven. You know, when something is made, a shirt, a phone, whatever, it's usually stamped with some words. We're all familiar with this. And one of the more common stamps that you will see is made in China, or made in Taiwan, or made in the USA, although that one's a little more rare these days. When God created our souls, he marked them in a certain sense with these words: made by God for heaven. That's why we were created. And that's our destination. Life is only the road trip to get there. How many people do you know who take a road trip, want to spend the entire time in the car? How many people would rather drive and drive and drive, spend hour upon hour upon hour in the car, with no desire to reach the destination? Who wants to just sit in the car, to take the trip for the sake of the drive, and aren't too concerned about reaching the destination? Not many. Sure, there may be some, but not many. Most people look forward to the destination. In life, we often fail to do this. It's almost as if some people want to spend eternity in the car and never reach the destination. And so we have to ask ourselves on this Feast of the Ascension, considering the place that our Lord went to prepare for us, am I that kind of person? Am I the kind of person who wants to just sit in the car If I am, then I have to change something. If I'm the kind of person who really isn't concerned with reaching the destination, then I have to reevaluate things, because that's not why I was made. Why were we made? We were made for heaven. And this is what we should live for. Let us then not live for the world. The world will let us down again and again and again. It will fail us over and over and over again. Because everything that is in the world will always come to an end. And life, when all is said and done, is short. Heaven is forever. Let us not live for what is passing then. Let us live for what endures. And let us do this in three simple ways, three practical things that we can do to live for heaven. The first thing, make the Mass and the sacraments priorities in your lives. We have an obligation to attend Mass roughly 58 times a year, about 52 Sundays and 6 holy days of obligation. But here in Round Top, you have so many other opportunities to attend Mass. Try to take advantage of this blessing and attend an extra Mass here or there. Make it a point to get to confession at least every other week or so. And sometimes that does take planning. Sometimes we do have to rearrange our schedules to make time to get to the church in time to go to confession. But if it's a priority, we will do it. The second thing we can do to live for heaven is to be faithful to our daily prayers. This sounds very simple, but all too often when we have things going on and life gets very busy, a lot of times the first thing to get dropped and neglected is prayer. So if we've been in the habit of doing that, let's make the change today and begin to give prayer the right of way. And the third thing is this. Don't be overly concerned with worldly cares. News headlines, politics, sports, all of the other things that come up out there, don't be preoccupied with them. It's very easy to do, but this is one of the things that leads to the neglect of our daily duties, and it distracts us from our purpose in life, that of getting to heaven. Prioritize the Mass and the sacraments. Be faithful to daily prayer. Don't be overly concerned with worldly affairs. These three things will ensure that we are not living for this world. These are three practices that will ensure that we are living for heaven. And as we strive to do this, may we ever remember that life is short, but heaven is forever. May we never forget that we are made for heaven. And with Our Lady's help, may we be ever ready to do all in our power to arrive there one day and to attain that place which our Lord ascended into heaven to prepare for those who love him. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.